Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, there's nothing that surprises Abba Father God. He knows when you're going to be born. He knows whom you're going to be born, whose family. He knows your days. He knows the times in our lives when the troubles are going to come. And he knows when his spirit is going to descend and to begin to woo you into his divine presence. And that's an ongoing life's journey. And you know, it does not end when we come to know him. The presence of Adonai, as we study and we look at the patriarchs, we see that there were times where they were on those high tops in the presence of Adonai, and there were other times when they were in those desert, low places. And the Lord allowed all those things to form their character and to reveal ourselves to ourselves. Because you know what? Nothing we say or do in our life will ever surprise him. Because he knows who we are. Because he shaped us. He formed us in our mother's womb. And he knows us. You know, that's a beautiful thing. Once you come first to know Yeshua as your Messiah, knowing this, that he has everything in order. And if we just simply trust him, and as what Brother David shared earlier today, the frets in life, we all deal with them, and there are times when we just will not release the frets into our Father's hands and say, you know what, this is going on, it didn't surprise you, but I'm surprised, my whole world's been turned upside down and inside out. But I know if I simply trust you as I've done in the past, and whatever you change, am I not your slave? And for some of us, you know, that word is kind of has a very, very negative connotation. But a servant of Adonai is a slave to Adonai. And that's what these emissaries are. As we now turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. And so, Father, we lift up this prayer to you. Just as Yohanan, John, and Kepha were going in the process of dying and then seeing where Yeshua stood before the Sanhedrin and the leaders of the Jewish nation, they followed his example. And it was calling them out of their comfort zone because Yeshua was no longer walking on this earth. But he said this to them, I will send to you my comforter. Listen to him. He shall fill your mouths. And whatever he tells you to say, say it. Simply that. And so we're on this journey now with these emissaries. And I know that means apostles, but it also means simply sent ones. Okay? We are all sent by the Lord. In the communities we live, in the families that we've been joined to, we are sent. And we're just supposed to live out our lives before the Lord in all these things and allow the Spirit of the living God to manifest himself in and through us as we go through those services, those troubled times in our lives. So, Father, we just ask now that your word would go forth, that all the emissaries that are now listening will hear not my voice, but will hear your voice. Your word is alive to the day it was first proclaimed. And Father, when we think about this, you're raising up someone who denied you three times, Kepha. And you trusted him. You reconciled with him so that the word of God would not only be spoken forth through him, but it'd be written down to bless all the emissaries yet to be born from generation to generation. Because of Peter's trust, and Yohanan, John's trust, we are being enriched by their example. So, Father, we give you all praise and glory and honor as we turn to your word. May now the Ruach, the Spirit who leads us into all truth, show us how to apply your word, that we may arise and do your will and build your kingdom. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. beginning of verse 1. Kepha, whose name in English is Peter, and Yohanan, John, were still speaking to the people when the Kohanim, which are the priests, the captain in charge of the temple police, and the Zedekim came upon them. Now, with all these terrible things that are happening in both synagogues and in congregations throughout the world, these acts of terrorism, notice here, there are temple priests. So things are not new, are they not? Let's move forward. They came upon them, and they were very annoyed that they were teaching the people the doctrine of the resurrection from the dead and offering Yeshua as proof. The temple police arrested them. Since it had already been evening, they put them into custody overnight. However, many of those who heard the message trusted, and the number of men alone was about 5,000. So we have to think back. Where were they at this time? They had just been teaching in Solomon's colonnade, which is a colonnade like a large porch that surrounded the whole temple. And what had happened, before they went up those steps to enter into the colonnade, where the Micha prayers, the morning prayers, had been going on, and then you would then see men grouped in tens, minions, and they'd be praying these prayers, all right? And so as they went up these steps, there was a beggar that called out to them, a man who was crippled. And instantaneously, Yohanan and Kepha said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have is this. Rise now up in the name of Yeshua." And what happened? He stood up and he began to leap and dance as they entered together into the sanctuary, the outer sanctuary court, where there was prayer going on. And just think, they were just ending that prayer, then all of a sudden here comes a guy, comes in, and he's just praising God, all right? And they're looking at him. Then all of a sudden some of them recognize, wait a second, isn't that guy that's been sitting on these steps every day, both morning and evening, when we go and we offer these prayers to Adonai? Absolutely. And so this is all the background that's going here. Because many times when we read these chapters, we kind of say, it starts here and ends there. Well, the way Scripture is, it overflows one to another. Just like all of God's Word is interwoven with every other Word of God. And when you start separating and dividing it, that's when you run into trouble. Let's move forward now. The next day, verse 5. The next day, the people's rulers, elders, and Torah teachers assembled in Jerusalem, along with Anan, the Kohen Hagadol. Remember him? He was involved in bringing Yeshua to be put to death. And also Caiaphas in some of your translations. And Yohanan, this is a different John, and Alexander, and other men from the family of the Kohen Hagadol. And just think now when Luke is writing this years later, and he's mentioning these people's names. These names are very, very familiar with anyone who received the scroll of the book of Acts. All right? So now let's move forward. Verse 7. They had the emissaries, the sent ones, stand before them and ask, "By what power or in what name do you do this?" When they brought Yeshua before them, he was put questions, and they said, "By what power do you do these things?" And on one occasion, Yeshua said, "You answer me this question. The things that Yohanan the Immerser done, was that from God or was that from man?" And they would not press him anymore on that. And so this is the same thing. See, because what is happening here, my brothers and sisters in Messiah, is that the baton has been passed. Yeshua is no longer walking the face of this earth. And so the emissaries, the sent ones, if you were an emissary, you were then representing a monarch, all right? And so the things that you said, the things that you did, had a reflection on the reputation of the person who sent you. And so that's what is being pressed right here. And Kepha, prior to he being reconciled to Yeshua, what would have been the first words that came out of his mouth? I don't know the man. Okay? And Yohanan, who wasn't questioned while Messiah was being on trial and all these other things, he just simply remained silent. So right now, things are being refined in the fire. Because what is in the crux right here? The truth about Yeshua's death and resurrection and of who he is. Because these individuals, the leaders of Israel, they know who these two people are. They've seen them before. And so right now, Messianic Judaism is now in the weight scales. If Kephas simply walks away and says, I don't know what you're talking about, and John is simply silent, where would you and I be today? Still lost in our sins. So let's move forward here. Then Kepha, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, said to them. See, this is brand new, right? As we went through the good news of Matthew, there are many times when Kepha would just simply speak whatever came to mind. But there was that one occasion when Yeshua turned to them and said to his Talmudim, so who do the people say that I am? And that one time, the Spirit of Living God came upon him, and Kepha said, you are the Mashiach, the Son of the Living God. See, he had opportunities to experience this in the past. So here, you notice, he doesn't simply blurt out something or to get into a debate. But he waits, he pauses, and the Spirit of Living God fills him. Let's go forward here. Then he, Kepha, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being examined today about a good deed done for a disabled person, if you want to know how he was restored to health, then let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that it is in the name of the Messiah, Yeshua from Nazareth. Now Kepha has stepped over the security area. He's now professing before the council, the Sanhedrin, who put his Redeemer to death. He's continuing to proclaim these things as true. He has now allowed himself to face the same persecution that Yeshua faced. Moving forward, whom you had executed on a stake as a criminal. Think about that. Standing before the men who had that authority and power to manipulate the Roman government. Because Pontius Pilate is still there. This is only 50 days after Shavuot, the time frame of this all going on. And you know what they want to do? The leaders of Israel? They want to put any memory of Yeshua and erase it completely. So moving forward here. Whom you had executed on a stake as a criminal, but whom God has raised from the dead. Wait a second. What did he say? God raised him from the dead. Was that indisputable? Absolutely. They were the ones that when they brought in the Roman guard that watched over Yeshua's tomb that was loaned to him by Joseph of Arimathea, they were the ones to instruct those soldiers and to tell Pontius Pilate, tell the people that his disciples came and stole his body. This is 50 days plus ago. So everything is fresh going forward. God raised him from the dead, that this man stands before you perfectly healed. Which man? The man that was crippled. And just think about that. Everyone that's there, both the Sanhedrin, the temple police, who probably have seen this guy for years, knew that he was crippled. So this is all undeniable. So now going forward in verse 11. This Yeshua is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. Now, is Kepha speaking something brand new here as revelation from Adonai? No, he's quoting Psalm Tehillim in the Hebrew, 118:22. Those are the exact words. The stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. But he's proclaiming it as Yeshua, as the cornerstone of the rock, that the stone that was rejected. Then he goes on to say this. Now think about this. He's saying this before the leader, the high priest. And it'd be like today, it'd be like saying it to our president, the Congress, all right, the House of Representatives, and the Supreme Court. Okay? Because they're both a religious order and they are also a secular order. One and the same. And hear these words that he says now. There is no salvation. Now we stop there for a second. There is no Yeshua in no one else. Because what does salvation mean but Yeshua? So, there is no salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by whom we must be saved. What has just taken place 50 days prior? Passover, the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. And what was the duty of the priests? To bring a bull during Yom Kippur for themselves, then a lamb for the people. The one lamb, the Ahazel, they would lay their hands upon it and confess the sins of the people. They'd be led out into the wilderness, but the second lamb would be taken, its throat slit. Its entire body would be burnt upon the altar, but its blood would be sprinkled on the people as a temporary covering. But now Kepha is now declaring the Messiah is come. He has died. He's rose from the dead. And the only way now that we can be saved is through this Messiah to whom you put to death. The audacity. Can you imagine the high priest right now? And the Sanhedrin? What they want to do? They want to silence them at all costs. But in the scripture, we do not see Kepha, Peter, or Yohanan, John trembling before them. Why? Because they were sent ones. They were slaves of the Most High God. And they're now willing to offer their body as a holy and living sacrifice unto God, that the truth may be known first to whom? But to the leaders, the elite leaders of the nation of Israel. And you know what's going on here? This isn't behind some back rooms. This is in Solomon's colonnade, and there are over 5,000 men who are standing there who are hearing all these words. And they bore witness to Yeshua dying and raising from the dead. This is amazing. Let's move forward here. When they saw how bold Kepha and Yohanan were, even though they were untrained, Am Ha'aretz. You know what that word means? Common people. People from the land. All right? They were amazed. It literally blew their minds. Now let's look back. When Yeshua was age 12, during Passover, family's heading back, Yeshua remains in the temple. And he's asking questions of the leading rabbis and Torah teachers, okay? And then they start asking him questions because they see that the Spirit of the living God speaks to this young boy who's 12 years old, all right? And it says this, they were astounded on what he said. That same amazement now is being seen and recognized with the highly educated elite Sanhedrin, the high priests. And I know this, the temple guard were also highly educated too. So let's move forward in all these things. Also, they recognize them as having been with Yeshua. Moreover, since they could see the man who had been healed standing right beside them, there was nothing they could say to discredit the healing. Notice, they did not come out and say, well, they are now healing by the power of Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies, or by Hasatan. They don't make any of these accusations. Going forward. So they told them to step away from the Sanhedrin, while they discussed the matter privately. Why? Because who's watching but 5,000 of the remnant of Israel? Men of influence, men who have a heart after God, and they didn't want them to hear the discussion. So they go off Solomon's portico into a separate room where the Sanhedrin met so they can debate how we're going to answer them. We have to give an answer because those 5,000 men are looking to us for an answer. So we move forward here. Verse 16, what can we do with these men? They asked each other. Why, anyone in Jerusalem, can see that a remarkable miracle has come about through them. We can't possibly deny that, but to prevent it from spreading any further among the people, let's warn them not to speak any more to anyone in this name. Notice that. They won't even say the name. Why? I believe there's guilt in their hearts. And you know, the Spirit of Living God that was speaking through Kepha, his presence is there in Solomon's colonnade, and his presence is there within the area where the Sanhedrin is meeting. And conviction is coming. Because as we read further in the book of Acts, it speaks about members of the Sanhedrin coming to put their trust in Messiah Yeshua. Slowly the veil is being removed from their eyes, and they're able to see and comprehend God's word as the Spirit of living God brings about conviction and enlightenment. They begin to see who Messiah truly is and recognize, I miss the Messiah. I was one of them that voted for him to be put to death. There are many times when we read through Scripture and we do not understand the significance, what's going on in the hearts and minds of these individuals. The same thing that happened to us on our journey, as the Spirit of living God made his presence known to us and is continuing to make his presence known to us as we mature in the likeness and character that we have in Messiah. Let's move forward. Verse 18. So they called them in again and ordered them under no circumstances to speak or teach in the name of Yeshua. But Kepha, Peter, and Yohanan, John answered, you must judge whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God. Now when Kepha shares this, he's showing them and he's saying these words to them. With due respect, your honor, high priest, Sanhedrin, and temple guard, you must judge for yourself. Should we do what you say or what Abba Father God says? He's not trying to make a mockery of them because they know this. There's a veil over their eyes. Think about those 3.5 years that these Talmudim walked with Yeshua. The veil slowly was being lifted from their eyes. For they did not fully comprehend and understand who Yeshua fully was. Let's move forward. Verse 20. As for us, we can't help talking about what we've actually seen and heard. So they, and who's the they? The Sanhedrin, threatened them with some more, but finally let them go. They couldn't punish them because of the people, for everyone was praising God over what happened. So just think about that. Behind those closed doors that they called those two in, because they did not want to give their judgment before the 5,000 that were in the portico there. And what's going on in Solomon's portico? A worship service breaks out. And everyone's praising Adonai because they had all known that man for years and he was crippled. So going forward here. Verse 21. I'll reread it. They threatened them some more, but finally let them go. They couldn't punish them because of the people, for everyone was praising God over what happened. Since the man had been miraculously healed, was more than 40 years old. And you know that type and setting? You're way past middle age at age 40. Okay? At the time of this reading, in one of the most beautiful cities that had all the civil types of sanitary conditions far beyond what Jerusalem had at the day. The mortality rate for a child was 10 years. And here's a man who's lived over 40 years, a crippled person, but he walked in God's provision. Verse 23, upon being released, they went back to their friends and reported what the head Kohanim and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they raised their voice to God with singleness of heart. Master, they prayed, you have made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, by the Ruach HaKodesh, by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, you said, why did the nations rage and the peoples devise useless plans? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers assembled together against Adonai and against the Messiah. And were they just simply spontaneously praying? No, they were quoting Psalm, Tehillim 146:6. See, Psalms is not just worship songs, but it's also prayers before Adonai. Going now quickly, verse 27. This has come true in the city since Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and with the people of Israel, all assembled against your holy servant, Yeshua, whom you made Messiah. Who made him Messiah? But Abba, Father God. To do what your power and plan had already determined and beforehand should happen. So now, Lord, take note of their threats and enable your slaves, to speak your message with boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and miracles through the name of your holy servant, Yeshua. As what was said prior to this, during the service, Yeshua declared, like Moshe raised up a servant of brass upon a stake in the desert, so Messiah Yeshua will be lifted up upon a wooden stake, that all would come to him, would receive him, being covered by his blood, would receive forgiveness and have eternal life. So moving forward here. And while they were still praying, the place where they were gathered was shaken. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Why? Because God is so excited and he makes his presence so much that he begins to shake things to let them know he's there. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Wait a second. Didn't that happen in Acts chapter 2? Absolutely. Being filled with the Spirit of the living God is not a one-time event. Ephesians declares, continue to be filled with the Spirit of the living God, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Going on. And they spoke God's message now with boldness. And many believers were in one heart and soul. And not one claimed any of his own possessions for himself, but everyone shared everything he had with great power. The emissaries continued testifying to the resurrection of the Lord Yeshua. This Sunday, it's not Easter. This Sunday is a resurrection of the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Amen. Constantine brought Easter in. You know why? Because he wanted the people to be underneath his lordship. And so he took the feasts of the Lord and he reinterpreted them. He said that once he became the Roman emperor, he said that any person that believes that Jesus or Yeshua is the Messiah and they celebrate Passover, they are to be put to death and to be put out of the Christian community. That's Constantine taking the Lord's feasts and stealing them from the people of God. That's what history is all about. And so this Sunday is what? Resurrection, first fruits. The second feast of the Lord that the Lord has fulfilled. The third one in the spring is what? Shavuot. These three feasts the Lord has fulfilled. How sad it is for the Christian community to believe the lie of Constantine and not have the fullness of God of delighting in the Lord in all his feasts. A blind has been placed over their eyes. These are feasts of the Lord. How for us to know him more intimately and rejoicing in him. But the enemy comes in and he throws in this new word that has pagan origins. Because Yeshua, if you open your Bibles, you will not find the word Easter. Yeshua said, I am the resurrection and the life. He did not say, I'm the Easter and the life. I'm the resurrection. And Paul declared, he is the first fruits. And when you became born again in Messiah, you are first fruits in the Spirit. Later when you die, when Yeshua raised you from the dead, you'll be first fruits of your flesh, which will not be corruptible. That's what awaits us. See, all these veils that the enemy wants to put before our eyes? Let's walk in God's word. Are we not people of God's word? So on Sunday, it's Happy Resurrection Day, or Happy First Fruits. Let's lay Easter aside, and let's focus on the resurrection in our Messiah. Move forward. I'll complete here very, very quickly. Verse 34. No one among them was poor, since those who owned lands or houses sold them and turned over their proceeds to the emissaries to distribute to each according to his need. Thus Joseph, whom the emissaries called Barnabas, whose name means exhorter, a Levite, a native of Cyprus. Where's Cyprus? That's an island out in the Mediterranean, okay? He sold a field which belonged to him, and he brought the money to the emissaries there. So here's our scripture reading and part of our first portion of our message of the Acts of the Emissaries of Yeshua the Messiah, chapter 4.